Now, as promised, I'm thrilled to welcome to Classical WMUK the Artistic Director of Face Off Theater Company, Marissa Harrington. Welcome to Classical WMUK.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Well, you're going to be wearing a couple of hats in our interview, which is maybe 10 fewer than you normally are wearing. We have
good point.
Yeah, we'll be covering three different events. One is tonight. But first of all, I wanted to point out to our listeners that Face Off Theater Company really didn't shut down during the COVID-19 crisis or pandemic. You've been more active than ever, it appears.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I love that. We took about, I would probably say, maybe about a month to just regroup and take a step back and look at what is happening in the world. What does our community need? We took a moment to do that. And then I guess it was full steam ahead after we figured it out, which is awesome.
It turns out that producing new plays, new work by playwrights from our area and around the country online is very, very doable. You've had a whole new mm-hmm. play series.
Yes. We have. So one of the discussions that we had was what kind of content can we do? So instead of focusing on what we could not do, which is obviously meeting and rehearsing in person, we turn our focus to what can we do. And so with this awesome, I guess, resurgence or popularity of Zoom and Facebook Live and Facebook Live watch parties, we said, okay, so we can do that. Okay, next step is, well, what are we going to do? and, you know, a large part of our mission and who we are has always been to develop new work, has always been to take artists of color in our community that have wanted to get a start in playwriting or have things, workshops, and to give them the space to do that. So we created a playwriting committee, and the playwriting committee is compiled of some community members, but also some Face Off Theater Company members who have been taking the lead on these online virtual series. And it's been great. It's been great. It's so exciting to watch the crazy idea that you had actually take off.
First up is tonight's performance. It starts at 7 o'clock, and it's a 10-minute play followed by a discussion, and it's called I'm Not Buying It. Would you tell me who the playwright is, Vicky G. Hampton? Tell us a little about her.
Yes, absolutely. So the one that we're doing tonight, this is actually the third in our series. It's the last one. We've done two others before this with two other playwrights. Vicky's awesome. So Vicky came to us from Atlanta, and she's been writing, been in this art scene for a long time. I was introduced to Vicky by one of our company members, and Vicky came to Face Off, I want to say maybe like, it's been a couple of years now, as a volunteer. She just saw who we were, saw what we were doing, and she literally just said, hey, I want to be involved with what you guys are doing. So Vicky has been volunteering with us for our shows, and I found out she was a writer. I don't know how I didn't know that, but found out she was a writer about a year or so ago. And, you know, the plan was to actually produce a full-length play of Vicky's this year for our season. And obviously when the pandemic happened and we had to cancel all in-person shows, you know, we wanted to still do something for Vicky. And it made sense for us to include Vicky in this three series, I guess, Facebook Live event. And so she wrote the play for this event. So that's what also makes it super exciting, is that this is the first time that anyone is going to see it or hear it. And she was able to workshop it in the rehearsal process with a director who is Erlene and our actors. So yeah, that's the show tonight, and that's a little bit about Vicky.
You referenced Erlene, and I'd like to point out to our listeners that Erlene McMichael, the Morning Edition host you hear every day on 102.1, is directing tonight's performance, and
yes,
we're very excited to see it. How many actors are in the cast?
So there are four people in the cast. It is the premise of it. I don't want to give too much away, but the premise of it is just putting yourself in someone else's shoes. And in this instance, putting yourself in the shoes of a Black American who is shopping. And it seems like such a mundane, everyday task to do. But one of the messages of this play is that for Black Americans, you know, the most everyday mundane activities can unfortunately sometimes not always stay so simple. You know, we have to deal with racism and microaggressions and, you know, people following around the store. We have to deal with that kind of stuff every single day. So Vicky wrote a play to talk about it and explore that.
I have been trying to put myself in the shoes of people of color a little bit lately. And, you know, it must be a bit of a whiplash between being treated like just being negated and really not having your voice listened to, and then also kind of stalked, like suddenly there's a very much attention on you, and it's quite scary. The back and forth between that.
Yeah, it's complicated. It's complicated, and I think Vicky did a really good job with this play to show how complex that is. It's very multi-layered. And again, I don't want to give it away because I want everyone to check it out. And it's amazing the amount of material she was able to pack in 10 minutes.
Amazing. That's tonight. Mm-hmm. Tonight at 7, and it's free to anyone.
Tonight at 7. Correct, because it's just, you know, it's just on Facebook Live. You know, we do obviously ask for donations with the live cast, and those monies go directly back into, you know, our artists in the community. We do want to sow into the people who are giving of their time to help us with this endeavor, this new thing that we're doing. And there's still more work to produce yet, so we do ask for donations, but otherwise, it's completely free.
The play stars Beth Fields, Timothy Smith, Dwayne Steiger, and Ron Ware, and they're directed by Erlene McMichael, and it's live at 7 o'clock. And then after the play is over, what can we expect?
There will be an interview with Vicky, the playwright, where Erlene will be able to just ask her questions about the piece and why she wrote it. And I think it's a really cool opportunity for the audience to, you know, get into the mind of a playwright. I think it's cool. And then there's also a question and answer section after the interview. So if you watch it and you want to ask questions of the playwright or the director at, you know, tonight, you can do that in the comments. It's been really exciting. I love when people, the interaction we've been having with people.
I'm speaking with Marissa Harrington, who is the artistic director of Face Off Theater Company, which is on Facebook and also online. And we should move on now to the upcoming panel discussion and then an online showcase. This will be 2 days in a row, July 31st, August 1st. Again, all events at 7 p.m. Now let's start off by talking about Mr. Reginald Edmund.
Absolutely. So, Reggie is, he's a force. I met Reggie a few years ago with this project, Black Lives, Black Words, Western Michigan University Theater. program was bringing Reggie to do a campus takeover for Black Lives, Black Words. And so what that entailed was Reginald coming to do a workshop to have students, and actually with members of the community invited as well, to just do some writing. And the prompt is, do Black Lives Matter today? That's the prompt. And so the whole workshop is around exploring that. And from that workshop, then we would take some pieces and do a showcase for the community. So it would include works from the Black Lives, Black Matters, Black Lives, Black Words, anthology. And then it will also include some of the work from the workshop. And then it also included if anyone wanted to bring their own work. So it's this really great, like, community showing of support for the Black Lives Matter movement. And so that was a few years ago. So Reggie does this actually internationally. He does these workshops. He does original performances from the Black Lives Matter anthology. He is just, I mean, really the true embodiment of art and activism, I think.
Hmm. The anthology is like a resource book for these workshops and different theater companies. He's offering his work and other people's work in this anthology?
Yep. It's like an anthology of everyone that's ever written for Black Lives, Black Words in these workshops, and it's been compiled in this anthology, which is phenomenal because a lot of these people are their new playwrights.
Wow!
Right, so
wow.
Giving them an opportunity to explore the subject matter, and then also to have their work published, right? And so Reggie, as the co-founder and managing curating producer of Black Lives, Black Words, has just spearheaded, I feel like, this movement of Black playwrights getting their voices heard. It's awesome.
Well, how long has he been, when did this start?
So Black Lives, Black Words, now the only thing I'm not sure of is the founding date of it, so forgive me for that, but if I'm going to throw it out there, it's at least, been probably like five years, and I feel like it's been longer than that.
So well before the events of Black Lives Matter protests today.
Yeah. Well, he'll say when you hear Reggie talk about it, he will say that, it was kind of, so maybe it has been 5 years because it was kind of birthed out of the Black Lives Matter movement, when everything was happening with Mike Brown and Ferguson. And I mean, there has been this movement going on.
Mm-hmm.
For 5 years now. And so Black Lives, Black Words was born out of that movement and artists wanting to say something and needing to say something and to respond to what was going on in our country. And so he's given us a space to do that.
The word I'm thinking of is visionary.
Yes.
He had that concept of, not just pursuing his own success as a very, mm-hmm. very celebrated playwright, but somehow turning it into a theater movement.
Correct. It's awesome.
So
we just, as a Kalamazoo community, Western originally wanted to bring him here several years ago as, continuing that work with their students. But, now we're in a situation where, the movement has taken on a new breath. I feel like new life has been breathed into the movement. And it's going strong here now in Kalamazoo. And so the two events that we have coming up are part of Kalamazoo's need, Kalamazoo's artist community, our need to respond, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're doing that in the form of a panel taking place on July 31st. I don't want to give away who's on the panel yet, but it will be some really heavy-hitting community members who are on the front lines of the Black Lives Matter movement here in Kalamazoo or have been And then following that, the very next day will be our open mic showcase. So the open mic showcase is super exciting because it's not only going to feature Kalamazoo artists, it's also going to feature people that have ever lived, worked, went to school in Kalamazoo and may not be here anymore, but want to lend their voice to what's going on here. And so there's going to be poems, there's going to be work from the Black Lives, Black Words anthology, there's going to be monologues, scenes. I mean, I'm super excited. That's going to be, it's going to be great.
Let me remind listeners that the panel discussion will be held at 7 p.m. on July 31st. That's next Friday. And the showcase, which is sort of an open mic feel with the variety that's coming in, that's at 7 p.m. on Saturday, August 1st. And you can find it, find all information on the Face Off Theater's Facebook page as well as their own website. And finally, Marissa, we should mention the name of Reginald Edmond again. He's the special guest. He'll make a guest appearance on the panel discussion. So with all of the energy and momentum behind Black Lives Matter that began in May, May 1st was George Floyd's murder. People like yourself, prominent artists in Kalamazoo who are Black, maybe have taken on an extra burden. A lot of organizations are looking at themselves and thinking, we're not doing enough. Who do we talk to about doing better? Have you found yourself taking on a lot of advisory roles? And is that okay? Are you up for it? What would you suggest organizations do in addition to seeking out voices like yourself?
Sure. That's a really great question.
It's a lot for yourself and others to take on.
It is. And so full transparency, it's not our job to help. That's not our job, right? Because it's something that we live, breathe. This is every day. This is every day. I'm 37 years old. So I always say to people, you know, for 37 years, you know, I've had to experience racism, sexism, misogyny, discrimination, microaggressions, right? So it is an extra burden to try to explain to people what's been going on in my life for 37 years, right? But I will say that I personally believe that organizations like ours who are doing this work, have been committed to this work prior to the movement, right? As a part of who we are and what we do, I do feel like it is our responsibility to be leaders in the movement. It is our responsibility to, if we do have anyone that says, hey, what can we do, how we can be better, to provide some ideas, but with caution, right? Because I think the work has to come from doing your own research, exploring how you as an individual or you as an organization can do better, right? And it's literally only going to come from you doing your own work and your own research. There's only so much that, you know, as a Black organization that we can do to help people get there. Because real transformation is going to come from work. Anything that's worth anything and anything that's worth value comes from you actually working for it and working hard for it. So, you know, it's what I tell my kiddos, you know, if you really, you want to learn the lesson, you're going to have to really dig in and dig deep, right? Mm-hmm. There's only so much learning that you can do by someone just telling you, giving you the answers, right?
It's like writing.
You gotta do the work.
It's like writing your own paragraph versus copy pasting.
Exactly. You can't. It's not authentic if you don't do your own work. It's not real change and real transformation if you don't do what it takes to do the work. And it is work. We all have to do work. All of us. Just because we're a Black organization doesn't mean that there's not work that we need to do in different areas. Right. So. I just encourage everyone to do the work. And it doesn't mean that, you know, Black activists Black artists, Black organizations aren't here for support and aren't here to look to for leadership. But also, we're not here to give all the answers. Because if we want real change, people have to do the work.
The word work is making me work. But why, in tuning in tonight, that's not work, but it will also.
It is.
It's fun too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Absolutely. But it's also you're learning. You're learning more. Right.
Right.
And you're putting yourself in a position to, see a different perspective. That is work.
Well, in my book, it's fun.
I love it.
Yeah. It's
I think so too.
Seeing people do what they love is mm-hmm. one of the most satisfying things you can observe or be part of. So, let's leave it with the fact that you're reaching more people than ever, as it turns out, yeah. online. I was talking to Orlean about this.
Mm-hmm. I love that. where there's people in California who are my friends that watch, and family on the east side of the state, and friends and family in Chicago. It's cool. I love that. I mean, I know that there's a lot to be left to be desired about the internet. I know that. We all know that. However, let's be grateful for the things that it allows us to do, which is to connect across state lines. I mean, if somebody wanted to watch this, London, they could, right? So I think that's cool. I really, really do.
It's reaching more people than you ever could in a 50-seat hall, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it's a blessing. It is.
Before we go, any final thoughts on tonight or the upcoming panel discussion and showcase?
I just, just want to say we're very grateful to be able to do this work in Kalamazoo. And, the whole point of it is to move the needle forward to create change in our community. And so if you do tune in to tonight or our panel next week, or our open mic showcase, just tune in with open hearts and open minds, just ready to continue to make some positive change.
And on Facebook, you can keep clicking the heart button or the like button and sort of feel like you're there.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of folks do sort of chime in during the performance.
They do. It's so cool. I love it.
Marissa, I know you've got lots to do today. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us here on Classical WMUK. It's lovely to have you again. And we'll talk to you again pretty soon about Three Little Birds.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye for now.
All right, bye for now.
Here on Classical WMUK, we'll continue with music of Jesse Montgomery, one of the founding members of the Catalyst String Quartet, which came out of the Sphinx organization. Jesse Montgomery is a violinist and composer. And here's a piece called Strum for String Orchestra. It was actually featured on a Kalamazoo Philharmonia concert in the last season, I believe. This is a quartet performance with Jesse in the group. Here's Strum for Strings.